Everybody. How you guys doing? 10 o'clock. You good? Are you glad to be in church today? Oh, yeah. How's the balcony? How my people in the balcony doing? Yeah. Well, we're so glad that you're here this morning at The Rock. I know you're going to be excited when you leave to tell people how much better Miles McPherson got looking, better looking he got today. Yeah, Why are you laughing, girl? I mean, come on. Oh, man. Hey, my name is David Cooper. It's a privilege to be here and to speak for our pastor today. He's actually away on ministry, and he's in Belize doing a youth conference. And actually, he is just on his way traveling back. So just want to continue to lift him up. And he was flew out on, I believe, late Thursday or Friday morning. Did a youth conference in Belize and is flying back already. And I actually flew back in, I think, overnight. So we want to continue to lift him up. But you're stuck with me today. So, hey, we're going to have a good time in church. Amen? Yeah. It's been a while since I've been able to be with you guys in this capacity. I always love to speak to The Rock because this is the bomb church in the nation. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Yeah, yeah. So we're going to have a good time this morning. It's always an honor to be here. There are really people would love to have the opportunity to be in this church, to be in this place and this capacity. So it truly is an honor for me. Say, I need backup. Now, you know this is a participation sport, right? There are no spectators allowed in this building. Amen? We get down together when we have church. And we're going to talk about needing backup. You know, police officers, when they are in a distressed situation or they know they get into a situation that is bigger than who they are, they have no problems calling for backup. And they know that when they call for backup, it's coming. There's no delay. They don't even worry about it. And we're going to talk about for the next little bit that we're together this morning why it's so important for us as fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, to call for backup when we need it. It's called accountability. Say accountability. Now, there are times, you know, police officers help hold us accountable, you know. Some of us more than others. Don't point to anybody, but, you know. I want to give you 10 things that a police officer might say when he's dealing with you or has pulled you over. Are you ready? Number 10, relax. The handcuffs are tight because they're new, but you'll get used to them after a while. Number 9, if you run, you're only going to go to jail tired because they got helicopters and stuff. You know what I'm saying? The ghetto bird will find you. Number 8, can you run faster than 1,200 feet per second? Because that's how fast the bullet coming behind you is going to be moving. Number 7, so you don't know how fast you were going. Okay, that means I can write the ticket for any amount that I want, right? You're laughing because you've been there. Number 6, how many of you asked for this one? Warning? You want a warning? Okay, I'm warning you that if you do this again, I will give you another ticket. Number 5, if you've been in this situation, please don't volunteer that information. The answer to this last question will determine whether you are drunk or not. Was Mickey Mouse a cat or a dog? Some of you will get the rest of that driving home. You'll go, oh, a cat. Oh, he was a mouse, Mickey Mouse. We'll pray for you. Number 4, got it. All right, bro, you're with me. Thank you. See, the balcony's with me. They're awake up there. Number 4. Yes, we have a quota. In fact, 2 more tickets and my wife gets a toaster oven. How many of you said, man, they're just trying to meet their quota? Yeah, okay. Number 3, so how big did you say those 2 beers you had were? Number 2, well, I'm glad to hear that Chief Hawker is a personal friend of yours, so you know who you can call to post your bail when you get done. And the number 1 thing you might hear from a police officer is, you don't think we give pretty women tickets? You're right, we don't, so sign here. Whoa! Somebody is walking out right now. They're like, this is church? Are you kidding me? But listen, I'm having fun. How many police officers do we have in the building? Raise your hand. Any police officers? Can I see some hands? Police officers. Let's give a hand to our police officers right here, bro. Thank you, man. Yeah. I have a champagne SUV. If you ever see me streaking, just I'm coming to church. Know that, okay? Just let me go. That's all that matters. You know, police officers are the ultimate fraternity. The thing about them is that they are together. They are a brotherhood. There is no fraternity like that of a police force. I mean, these guys, they get each other's back constantly. And if something happens, you messing with the whole family. You know, it's deeper than the mob. You know what I'm saying? They work together, and they have the ultimate accountability support system. Their accountability support system is called backup. And see, the reason it's accountability because they know that if they get into something that is bigger than them, they can call for backup and they have immediate help. When that code is released across those radio waves, immediately a dispatcher begins to tell other officers, proceed to this intersection, move to this location, code 3, that means light, sirens, the whole nine, move together to begin to support and mobilize to support this officer. It is the ultimate accountability support system. It's an accountability system because it's holding the officer accountable to follow the law, but more importantly, it protects him or her from taking on something that they can't handle. My challenge to us as believers is we have got to engage in true accountability systems and not be afraid to call for backup when we need it. And so we're going to talk about that for a little bit this morning. The reason that we don't like to call for backup is primarily because of a little word called pride. Pride makes us hesitate. Pride makes us think we can handle it. Pride makes us think we can do our thing. Pride makes us think that we don't need support or need help. But the reality is we need help. Some of us more than others. And you know, we search for help in a lot of places. People are always looking for help, motivation, inspiration. I mean, the self-help industry alone is ridiculous. In 2005, it's a fact that the self-help book sales industry went over $8.5 billion. It's predicted that by the end of 2008, self-help product sales will reach the excess of $11.5 billion in sales. All to find help. I brought a couple titles of some self-help books for you this morning, and I just found them ironic because you're seeking self-help, right? So listen to a couple of these titles. The first one is Leadership Secrets of the Rogue Warrior, A Commando's Guide to Success. I want you to just stomp, blow the people up. I mean, you're going to just tear the place apart. A Commando's Guide to Success. That was a little interesting. How about this one? Mindless Eating. That's the name of the book. Mindless Eating. Go figure. I kind of like this one. Remember, self-help, right? The book was entitled Get Stupid. That's the name of the book. Man, you got to go get this book. You got to read it, man. It's going to help you. What's it called? Get Stupid. Oh. But this was the one. The icing on the cake was a self-help book for women on self-esteem. The title of the book is really, Girl, He's Just Not That Into You. I don't know about you ladies, but hey, if somebody just came up and you were having a guy problem, you know, and you're looking for that sympathy and your homegirl said, hey, just face it, girl, he ain't into you. Crush. Self-help, right? You know, along this journey, there's all kinds of guys out there, you know, to give you motivation and help you and inspire you and, you know, build you up. And we seek accountability trying to find success. But sometimes we go to some crazy places, and I would bet maybe some of your self-help experiences have been something like this. Check this out.
All right, how's everybody? Good, good, good. Now, as your father probably told you, my name is Matt Foley, and I am a motivational speaker. Now let's get started by letting me give you a little bit of a scenario of what my life is all about. First off, I am 35 years old. I am divorced, and I live in a van down by the river. Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river. Now, young man, what do you want to do with your life?
Actually, Matt, I kind of want to be a writer.
Well, la-dee frickin' duh! We got ourselves a writer here!
I love this part.
I can't see real good. Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
Well, actually, Matt, Ellen and I have encouraged Brian in his writing.
Dad, I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Now, I wonder, Brian, from what I've heard, you're using your paper not for writing, but for rolling doobies. You're going to be doing a lot of doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river. Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river. Now, you kids are probably asking yourselves, hey, Matt, how can we get back on the right track? Well, as I see it, there is only one solution, and that is for me to get my gear, move it on in here, because I'm going to bunk with you, buddy. We're going to be buddies. We're going to be pals. We're going to wrestle around. Old Matt's going to be your shadow. Here's you. Here's Matt. There's you. There. Whoops-a-daisy. Whoops-a-daisy. My God. We're going to have to clean that up later. Me and my buddies, my pals, my amigos. I'm going to get my gear.
Wait, yeah, Matt, you don't have to go. Matt.
Oh, man, isn't that great? If he shows up at your door to help you with your spiritual life, run for the hills, right? But, you know, sometimes we go through experiences when we're seeking out accountability, and we have things like that that happen. We envision accountability as this guy or this girl, this other Christian who's just going to beat us up with what you shouldn't be doing and you're just a horrible, you know, and all this and that. When the reality is, that's not what the accountability relationship is supposed to be like. So what we want to talk about this morning is what backup really is and how that calling for backup is a great thing. And so in order to do that, let's define the word accountability. Let's look at the word accountability and let's see what it really means so that we can get a little bit further in this process. Excuse me. Accountability, if you could want to begin to fill in your outline, is very simply the state of being accountable. But more importantly, it's liable or answerable. Well, then what in the world does liable mean? So let's go a little deeper to the next level and let's define the word liable. The word liable says that it is legally responsible for the damage caused by your action. Responsible for the damage caused by your action. How many of you have had damage caused by your actions before? Yeah, you with me? I mean, we've all experienced that. So then what we have to look at is, are we putting ourselves into a relationship with someone else or other people or a small group or whatever the case might be, where we are putting ourselves into a place of accountability and we've pushed ourselves to a place where we can be responsible for the damages that might be caused by our actions. But more importantly, it's a support system. It's not a Christian gossip club. It's a support system. And so let's look at some reasons why we usually try to avoid this. I mean, let's be real. Accountability is a tough topic. It's difficult for us because that means that we are subjecting ourselves maybe to the support or the ideas of other people coming into our lives. So I want to give you four reasons why we as Christians, we resist calling for backup. Four reasons why we don't call for backup. Number one is that calling for backup means that we need help. Means that we need help. We tend to not call for help because of a word, a small word we talked about a few minutes ago, called pride. It makes it difficult for us to call for help because we know that calling for help means that we need help. And we have a hard time with that. Since you were a little child, there was something that began to develop in you called independence. And you've been battling it ever since then. Because independence is what creates struggle for learning. But coachableness and teachableness is what allows us to learn. And our relationship with Christ is a continual learning experience. There's no one that's got it worked out. Nobody. That's why we have the Word of God. For instruction, a pathway to our life, we need help. So, I want to make a statement about accountability this morning. And if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to maybe write this down. But very simply, we tend to overestimate our ability and underestimate accountability. As Christians, we tend to overestimate our abilities and we underestimate the need and the truth in accountability. We think we can take on a lot more. How many of you in this room have ever gone through something and after you started into it, you went, uh-oh. And you're out on the island, right? It's a challenge. Accountability must be proactive and not reactive. You know, how many times you make 911 prayers to God? Right? Lord, I know it's been a while since I talked to you, but could you help a brother out? Because I need some money. Got bills to pay, Lord. He's like, did you pay your tithe? You're like, no, Lord, that's not really what I wanted to talk about. I just, you know. We usually call when it's too late. Accountability has to be proactive. The true accountability relationship, you need to be proactive and not reactive. You need to be asking for help before you need help. You know, I have some men in my life that have the right to call me at any time and jam me up. You know, we need to get jammed up sometimes. You know that. We need people to come in and say, hey, I got a book for you. It's called Get Stupid. No, just kidding. I see what you know. What are you doing here? This is not, no. I got to give some props to a couple of ministries in the church called Iron Men and Brothers. It's a men's ministry in the church. And the thing about this ministry is there's a group of a couple of hundred men who have realized what accountability is. And when there's a struggle and a brother is going through it, emails start getting shot out immediately. Prayer. So-and-so had surgery. So-and-so had a bike wreck. So-and-so, you know, is struggling. So-and-so just had a baby. It's awesome. Whatever. It's an immediate accountability. But we resist that because we don't like to ask for help. Proverbs 19, verse 3. There's a typo in your bulletin, but it's Proverbs 19, verse 3 says, a man's folly ruins his life. How many of you had consequence from your own folly? I have. So we got to be cautious. The second reason we don't like accountability is calling for backup means that we expose our weakness. In our minds, calling for backup means that we're exposing our weakness. You know, it's not our intention as believers to fight or resist God. We don't intentionally resist God. But the reality is there is something within each side of us called a sin nature that builds when we become afraid, that builds when we get in an uncomfortable situation, that causes us to depend on ourselves rather than God or our brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ. And we do that because we don't like to be exposed. We don't like people to know our business. And we resist calling for backup or resist accountability because we don't want someone to be in our mix. We don't want someone to know our business. James 1:14 says this. I want to share this verse with you. Each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Each one of us is going to be tempted. Each one of us is going to struggle. But we don't like to accept that fact. So we struggle with that. The third reason that we resist calling for backup is because calling for backup has been unsuccessful for us in our minds. You know, the truth about people is one thing, is perspective is reality. And how you perceive it is how you believe it. And your experience of accountability may have been difficult. Maybe you were open to discussing some things with someone, or you asked for prayer, or you offered support, and before you know it, you knew your whole small group knew about your biz. Ouch. And so because we've had experiences like that, we resist calling for backup because in the past, it's been unsuccessful. But we have to realize people are people. And that can create a negative connotation relative to accountability, relative to calling for backup. And the fourth reason that we resist calling for backup is that it means we have to be honest with ourselves. Ouch. Calling for backup means that we're being honest about an area of struggle in our own lives. And that's tough, isn't it? That's not easy sometimes. You know, Albert Einstein made a great statement. And it's a very simple statement, but it's profound at the same time. And I'm going to read it for you, and I think they've got it for you up front as well. And it says very simply, there's only two things that are infinite, the universe and human stupidity. And then he goes on to say, and I'm not so sure about the universe. Are there any other stupid people in this room other than me? Can I say amen? I mean, that's just reality. We do stupid stuff. We do things where it requires us to need accountability and need help. I love to read a guy. His name is Thomas A. Kempis. This guy was a spiritual kind of, I want to say he's kind of a mentor of mine, even though his writings are years, hundreds of years ago. And it's believed that he actually hand-wrote the Bible about 9 times through his devotional life. And he expounded on his devotional life in a book called The Imitation of Christ. And he made a statement that I want to read to you. He said, he who striveth to draw away himself from obedience withdraweth himself from grace. If a man submit not freely to the one set over him, it is a sign that his flesh has not yet become subject to itself. That's an amazing statement about submitting yourself to somebody else for the purpose of accountability. You see, we as believers, we can't resist calling for backup. We have to call for backup. We have to be willing to call on our brothers and sisters and say, hey, I need you right now. I need some support. I need some help. So we've got to learn to be just like a police officer. When we come upon a situation in life and we get to a place that we realize it's a little bigger than us, or it's a little bigger than our faith, or it's a little bigger than who we might believe to be, we've got to learn to call for backup. Say, I need backup. Look at somebody and say, I need backup. Let's look at 4 reasons why we have to call for backup. Are you with me? Say, yeah. The first reason is that backup is safe. We must call for backup because backup is safe. There's a couple reasons why it's safe. Backup is safe because you trust it. It's trust in the midst of a trial. Backup is safe because it's trust in the midst of a trial. Listen, when a police officer makes that radio call and he says, I need backup, there is no doubt in his mind for any moment that somebody isn't coming to get his back. And it's just a matter of seconds or minutes before someone arrives on the scene to support him. Well, you know what? The true accountability relationship, as the word brought to us in James, was confess your sins one to another. There's strength in going to one another. The second reason that backup is safe is that boundaries are a blessing. Boundaries are a blessing. You know, there was a guy in the Old Testament, his name was Samson. You guys remember Samson? For some reason, Samson, he was like the Rambo of the Bible, you know? Hey, you know, I took a donkey jawbone, I busted up a few heads, you know what I'm saying? Adrian, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you know, I picture him personally kind of like Fabio, you know? Like, he was like, you know, buff, and here, you know, it's Samson. You know? But check this out. As crazy as he was, as the armies that he defeated, as insane as he was in battle, he had a boundary in his life. And the Lord told him, never cut your hair. Now, he probably thought, never cut my hair. I have beautiful golden locks. I ain't going to cut my hair. But God knew that he had put the secret of Samson's strength in his hair. Why did he do that? He did that to make sure that Samson knew he had a weakness. And if that weakness was exposed, his strength would be gone. And so even when Samson was slaying thousands and when he was overcoming kingdoms and he was leading by force, in the back of his mind, he knew, I have a weak spot. And each one of us in our lives, we know exactly we have a weak spot, where it is, what it is, how it functions, and we can feel it coming on. And so we have to know that boundaries are a blessing. God puts boundaries in our lives to make sure that he is protecting us. It's not about subjection and ridicule. It's about love. And when we call for backup, we're implementing boundaries into our life to say, brother, I need some help. Hey, girlfriend. Yeah, he called again. What should I do? Support. You have a safe support system. The second reason that you got to call for backup is that backup is superior. Backup is superior. It's superior because it's reliable and ready. How many people do you know in your life that you could actually count on? You could actually depend on them. If you called them, you knew they would come through. Maybe a handful, maybe one or two, where you really knew you could support, trust them. The true definition of calling for backup as a Christian and living out real accountability relationships is they're reliable and they're ready. That person is ready to pray for you. You can rely on that person to go up into the throne room for you or to throw a prayer out for you or to tell somebody else that you need help. It's reliable and ready. You don't find that in our world. It's superior also because it's free from ridicule and reaction. Now, maybe this wasn't your accountability experience. Maybe it hasn't been free from ridicule. It hasn't been free from reaction. Well, then I challenge you. You find someone that truly understands accountability, and you call them for backup when you need it. Because true accountability relationship in a biblical sense is it's free from ridicule and reaction. It's brought in love. And that is the way God intended it for us. You know, there's a saying that says, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You want to know where you're going, if you're going to achieve your goals in life, if you're going to live a lifestyle of Christianity, if you're going to really pursue God with all that you have, what are the people around you doing? And are they in accountability with you? And are you guys a support system for one another? Can you call for backup when you need it? My friend Thomas Akempis, this is the last quote I'm going to give you of his today, and I asked them to put this up for you because I would like for you to read this to yourself with me. But it says very simply, for what is it to thee, whether a man be this or that, or say or do thus or thus? Thus hast no need for an answer for others, but thou must give an account and an answer for thyself. Where therefore dost thou entangle thyself? All things therefore are to be committed to me. That's God speaking. Watch thyself in godly peace, and leave him who is unquiet to be unquiet as he will. Whosoever he shall do or say shall come unto him, for he cannot conceive me. And he was paraphrasing John chapter 22. You know what he's saying there? Mind your business. Don't worry about anybody else's business. If someone comes to you and they ask for prayer, you give them prayer. But you don't meditate on other people's business. Now, I know the danger of being in a church as large as the Rock Church. There's thousands of people. And it's so easy to go and desire accountability and go to someone, but then it turns into the gossip club. And unfortunately, people have been hurt over that. But the reality is, as God intended it, true accountability and calling for backup, it's superior because of its integrity. And you need to hold an integral relationship when people come to you with confidence. And you need to pray for them, and you need to support them, and you need to lift them up, and that's as far as you go. And I would challenge you to go as far as to say this. Know what you can handle. If someone comes to you and they begin to bear their burden with you, pray together and lift them up. But I'm going to tell you something. If you struggle in the same area, you are not the one to help bring them a champion moment over that area of your life. And I would go first to say this. If you are in a situation like that, you need to find someone who can help. And that's when you let it go and you lift them up in prayer. But calling for backup is superior. Say, I need backup. Don't be quieting down on me now. We got a couple more to go. Is this good this morning?
Yes.
The third thing about calling for backup is that backup is speedy. I like the word speedy. It makes your face do things when you say it. Speedy. I remember the little guy. You remember Speedy Gonzalez? Arriba, arriba, andale. You know, and he would be all over the place, man. He would stop, nibble on some teeth, bam, and he would be gone. You guys remember Speedy? The thing about Speedy is, man, he would take a break, bam, he'd be gone again. That's the way our accountability relationship should be, man. When you call for backup, it needs to be speedy, instantaneous. There's a response, there's prayer, there's support, there's love, there's encouragement. We have to call for a backup because it's speedy. When these guys, when police officers call for backup, immediately mobilization starts to occur to support that officer. Immediately, without hesitation. Backup is speedy because it's priority with purpose. It's priority with purpose. We're not just going over to this scene to check it out. We're not just responding to this call because it's going to be a rush or it's going to be fun. It's we're responding this call because this guy needs help. I'm going to respond to give help. It's priority with purpose. The second reason that it's speedy is because it's anytime, anywhere. Isn't that cool about God? He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent. He's everywhere, all things, all the time. And you know what? Our true accountability relationships have to be the same way. When you're struggling, you shoot that text message, prayers start to go out immediately. When you're struggling, you call up that homeboy or homegirl or your friend or your brother and you call them up and you say, man, I need some, lift me up right now, help me with this, help me with this. And you begin to call and you begin to respond and things are happening immediately. When Pastor Miles contact me, say, can you speak? I'm going to be gone here in a couple weeks. Can you go and you can do this thing and whatever? Immediately, I went to my wife. I got the call. I got to speak for Miles. So then, the mood, it changes in our home. There's a new focus. And I send emails. I shoot text messages. I talk to people. Hey, I'm going to be at The Rock this week and lift me up. I just talked to a friend of mine and we both speak and do evangelism thing. Sorry. I got stuck there for a minute. And I hit him up and I said, where are you at this weekend? Oh, doggone, I'm in New Orleans this weekend. All right, bro, hey, I'm at The Rock this weekend. Hit me up. Give me some prayer. He hits me back. Do what you do, dog. I'm praying for you. That's accountability. That's calling for backup. That's calling people that you know that you care about and saying, hey, I need your help. It's speedy. It's reliable. The fourth reason that we must call for backup is because backup is strength. Backup is strength. Look at somebody next to you and say, strength. Backup is strength. Because when you have backup, when you have accountability, it's building the community of the body of Christ. Listen. It's time that we stop playing church and we be the church. And I'm not talking about gifts of the Spirit, and I'm not talking about the way you worship, and I'm not talking about the type of preaching that you like. I'm talking about the lifestyle as it is in the Bible of what accountability is supposed to be. That entire street out there is lined with booths for small groups. They're trying to build the community of this church. They're trying to enhance the brotherhood and the sisterhood of this church. That's where you need to be. It's all about accountability. It's all about building relationship because it builds strength. Community brings consistency. Community brings consistency. If everybody was doing it, then everybody would be doing it. If everybody could get in the habit of calling for backup, then everybody would be calling for backup. The second reason that it's strength is that community is strengthened by compassion. Say compassion. How many of you like it when someone calls you up and just says, hey, I just want you to know I was thinking about you. How are you doing? You know, there's a lot of people that ask you how you're doing, and they really don't want to know. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? It's like, if you don't, you know, they ask you how you're doing, and you start to talk, and you can tell they're thinking about washing their car, their dog needs a bath, you know, they forgot their deodorant, you know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Can you see it? And I'm kind of like, hey, if you want to know how I'm doing, then you better listen, because I'm telling you. But we're not real about that. But we've got to get real with that. A Christian community cannot shoot its wounded. If someone is struggling and they've come to you, you've got to be the one who says, I will help. When someone calls for backup, you've got to be the one. I want to talk to the strong ones this morning. I want to talk to the strong that are in this room for a moment. The strong are the people who have been through it. The strong are the people who have struggled and overcome. The strong are the people who have battled weakness and built it back up with strength. The strong are the ones who put their tithe in when they really didn't have any money to pay the groceries. The strong are the ones when things run out, they kept pressing on. The strong in this room are the ones who can bring the help when somebody else is in struggle. You see, when the body of Christ sends out a message and says, officer down, I need backup. The strong are the ones that come in and become a support system for that individual. You see, there was a song that was written many years ago that I know some of you have heard. The lyrics are very simple. It says, sometimes in our lives, we all have pain. Sometimes in our lives, we all have sorrow. Sometimes in our lives, it won't be long. Sometimes in our lives, if we are wise, we will need somebody to lean on. And the chorus says, lean on me. When you're not strong, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Sometimes in our lives, we all struggle. We all have pain. But I'm going to be somebody you can lean on. But it doesn't stop there. It says, please, swallow your pride. If you have something, you need to borrow. For no one can fill those needs, and they don't know how to let you show. But you're going to need somebody you can lean on. I want to know who in this room, when you see your brother or your sister fall, you're going to scoop them up, and you're going to say, lean on me. When someone is struggling and you stay them down on the ground, you say, officer down, I need backup. And you pick them up, and prayers begin to shoot out, and accountability begins to live out the way it was designed to be lived out. Who's going to be the one that someone can lean on in this room? Who's going to be the one that will step up and live true accountability? I need backup. I need backup. There's somebody next to you that needs backup. There's somebody in your cell phone that needs backup right now. There's people in your email that need backup. Who is going to be the one to stand and let someone lean on this morning? That's what God intended for true accountability. It's not about ridicule. It's about relationship. It's not about condemnation. It's about compassion. It's all about Jesus on the cross dying for what you're going through right now. Yeah. So, there's some people in this room, because I got to get and get out. There's some people in this room. You came in here today, and you don't even know what accountability is, and you're saying to your health, you're saying to yourself, 911, I don't know what this short, crazy white dude is talking about, but I need it. I want to tell you, it's no accident. Jesus died for you on a cross, for your sin, for your imperfection. And there's some of you here that you say, I don't know about needing people, but I need this Jesus. He's here for you. And there's some of you here this morning that you're saying to yourself, wow, I almost didn't come to church today, but I stumbled in here broken and wounded, and I need backup. If that's you this morning, I'm not going to formalize it. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. If you're in one of those two categories, come to this altar right now and let God begin to speak to you. Come right now. Don't even wait. Don't even wait. Just move. Come to the altar. Let me pray for you. Don't hesitate. Don't hesitate. Come on down here. I know there's people here struggling. Come on, they're starting to come. Let's welcome them. Come on. It only takes one. It only takes one. It only takes one. Who can they lean on today? Who can they lean on today? Come on, let's encourage them. Come on, come on. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, let's encourage them. Let's encourage them. They're coming from upstairs. Let's encourage them. Encourage them. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on down, come on down. Let's encourage them right now. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. Come on, Rock. Don't die down on me. Don't die down on me. Let's encourage these people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, one more push. One more push. Yeah. Yes, we got a couple more people still coming from the balcony. Just a couple more minutes. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Now, Rock, listen. Listen. Here's your opportunity, Rock. Here's your opportunity right now, okay? I want to talk to the strong ones. If you're one of the strong ones, I want to encourage you to come down and pray for somebody right now. I'm not telling you that you need to lead them in a prayer. I'm talking about a hand on the shoulder. Just let them know you're here. That's it. But if you're a strong one, get down here. Start the backup right here, right now. Small group leaders, leadership, volunteers. Be the backup right now. Now, those of you that are up here, I want to lead you in a prayer quickly because we got to go. There's a lot of people and cars, and it's crazy out there. You know that. So we got to pray, but I'm going to pray two prayers. I'm going to pray for those of you that need backup, and I'm going to pray for those of you that want to accept Jesus Christ. There's nothing special about the words that I'm going to say, but about the prayer in your heart, okay? So if you're up here and you want to say, 911 on my life, I need Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. And it goes like this, pray it in the privacy of your heart. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know you sent your son to die for me. I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life. Help me to get past myself and move closer to you. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a child of God. And Lord, there are people up here who are just saying, I need help. They called for backup. Lord, I pray that you would help these people to find an accountability partner and a true love relationship that it talked about in the Bible. It said, confess your sins one to another. I pray that you would help them with that. Lord, we just give you praise and honor because you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of everything that we are. It's a privilege to serve you. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. I need to give you some instruction real quickly. Those of you that came for prayer, I want to encourage you to go out here and get some support. There's going to be a prayer team right over this way. There's a gentleman waving. Like, just take a couple minutes and do that. Get some prayer support in just a second. Also, check out the CDs of Tyrone. He's going to give you a song on the way out. I encourage you to listen and get to the small group table. Thank you, Rock. Call for backup. We need it. Go out that way, right there.
Just the same from the beginning.